Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, we're in the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios in New York City. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Tomorrow, starting at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, join CBS Sports Network for some nonstop top 20 college lacrosse as we get things rolling with Lehigh battling Bucknell, followed by Loyola Maryland taking on Army. And we wrap things up with Syracuse going head-to-head with Navy, all on CBS Sports Network. How about that, Carver? I think I'll tape that tomorrow and watch that later. The what is it, lacrosse?
Yeah, fantastic. You should. It's going to be a good one.
Fantastic. And then you know what I do in the morning? After I'm done playing basketball, I go watch the high school kids play lacrosse all day to gear up for watching that taping that I'm going to make on my DVR. God, the programming's fantastic. I got to tell you, it's just – and when's the rodeo on? What about – is there water sports? I don't know. Mafia, am I going to get in trouble for this? I love that channel. I got to tell you, I favored it on everything. Including the radio.com app, which I think is a big, huge company-wide thing, isn't it? Like, we're all on there together promoting all the stations and all the shows and all the networks and all the sports, all the people getting along. It's fantastic. Are we on there? I think we are. Which do you prefer, Carver High, Alexa or Sirius? The Sirius app, or is it radio.com? Which of those offerings do you find to be the most luscious for you as a listener of various entities?
I like the radio.com app. It's fun.
So you favorite, like, the stations you like on there, like the Fan in New York and like the Fan.
Fan in Pittsburgh.
The Fan in Cleveland.
Yeah,
the Fan in Milwaukee. And then what about the West Coast? We got any?
The Hub in Boston.
What about Green Bay? We're popular there.
Yeah, all of them.
Miami. You listen to QAM? They used to have a logo that said they had kink. Giant stones. Kink, kink. There you go. So, anyway, later, Tony Jones, the Athletic, covers the Jazz. He's been on the bench a lot. We'll talk about the Jazz's opportunities. Aren't they playing tomorrow, I believe, in Salt Lake Shakers against the Rockets? Tomorrow night, 10:30 East. And Jazz at home. How do you think they'll do, Carver? How do you think they'll do better in their building against the Rockets than they looked in Houston? I thought they got rolled.
No, I think they're in trouble.
Oh, they're in big trouble. So you're another one of these road wins here. Rockets on the road. I don't know. So tomorrow, just so you know, Sixers and Nets. We already talked about it with Chris Carino. He was stunned by the way I started my interview with him, talking about all of the BS that went on. You cannot deny, Mafia, that that stuff went on. You cannot deny that the wanted posters, the rattling Simmons cage, the Embiid Simmons press conference, the Dudley comments, and then the, you know, the entire thing off the court, all the stuff off the court that went on. You can't tell me that didn't inspire Simmons and, you know, frankly, Redick and Harris to light them up the other night, because I'm telling you it did. It had everything to do with them getting their ass beat. In fact, I thought they talked so much smack that it just, they'd lost all focus, and that's why they lost.
I'm not going to put that all on the team. Dudley had his comments about them. I think, like Chris was saying, like if you take the one part we're just talking about, how he's not a great jump shooter, then, yeah, you're going to say, oh, he's trashed him.
But he did say it.
But he also said, like, the guy's unstoppable in transition. Like, we can't let him get in transition because then it's impossible to stop the guy. He was complimentary and then talked about the jumper. So people were just focusing on the one part. But the stupid part about the fans.
How about this? Hold on. That guy has the game of a fingernail compared to Simmons. Okay.
You're right.
Dudley's game is that of a dirty Coke fingernail compared to Ben Simmons.
It is. But, I mean, for me, the bigger thing was the fans. Like, how stupid are you that it's not like this guy. If this was last year where he had that game where he had like 1 point in the playoffs, then go ahead, mock him, make fun of him, talk about how terrible he is for the money he's making, how high a pick he is. But the guy put a triple-double up in game two, and then he can talk about how he has no jumper. That's just stupid. That's poking at him. And you know what? I get it. You're excited. You haven't been to the playoffs in forever. But be smarter than that. Because, yeah, you're just putting him around Brooklyn and maybe not. He's probably not seeing it as he walks into the arena, except that the media saw it.
Oh, believe
me. And they put it all over social media. So then it got put in his face right before the game, and like, he went off on you again.
Are you kidding me? Like, are you going to sit here and sell me that every player in the league and every NHL player and every football player and baseball player, don't tell me they're not just like you, staring at their phone all day long with everything that's said about them? Every single one of them. They all sit there all day long. All they do, take a look.
Of course.
Every player you see, watch what they're doing when they walk out of the arena. Watch what they do when they get on the bus. Watch what they do on the bus. All they do is look on their phone to see what people are saying about them. Believe me, you, Ben Simmons knew full on what they were saying about him leading up to that game at the Barclays Center, and he went out and lit them up because of it. Same thing goes for Durant. They all said Durant was a wussy all of a sudden and couldn't take on Patrick Beverly, right?
And then there was a stories about Green's mom was like retweeting and liking all these criticisms of him online.
I mean, Beverly's a tough defender, I'll give you that. There's no doubt about it. He's very aggressive. And I credit his defense. It really is good. But he plays very chippy, dirty defense, without a doubt. He gets up in your face and up in your body, and I think he just fouls the hell out of him. And they give him those fouls because he's 7 foot, right? So the other guy's 5 foot tall, and he got a 7-footer. And you saw what happens when you upset him. He started just draining shots right over his head. Like, he's, like, up to his elbow. You understand? So this guy can shoot whenever he wants, wherever he wants, anytime he wants, all over the floor at any single shooting position. You name it. Elbows, corners, wings, top of the perimeter, in the key, in the paint, low block. Do whatever he wants. He can do whatever he wants. And so what they did was they poked that bear, and look what that got him. They got their ass rolled.
Yeah, like you said, if you have Embiid out and you're at home and you still can't win, you're done for the series.
Yeah, and look, why play him now if they won without him easily?
Yeah,
and
rest him until you need him.
Your boy Bogdan Marjanovic, nobody could stop him either. The guy went off in the game. So why would you play this guy with a bum knee when you need him later in the rounds and games that really matter? These games, this is just right now, it's obvious it's first-round survival. That's all it is. Survive and advance and then go to the next level. You got to go conference semis, finals, and then make it to the NBA championship. Hopefully, that's the goal, right? So you have to worry about more later than now, if you ask me. So I'd rest him and play. I mean, if you can't stop Bogdan, then forget it. Boban Marjanovic, whatever the hell his name is. I'm telling you, look, that guy had a huge game, if you ask me. What did he have, like 14 or something? But he did whatever he wanted. In fact, at one point, he was shooting threes. When that guy's chucking threes, you know you're in trouble because that's just not happening. There's no way I would – if I were Brown, I would have a conniption if I saw that dude pull up from three. I'll be honest with you. Let's leave that to Redick and Harris and Butler, thanks. You just go down in the block and clean up. Tom in Milwaukee on the Fan, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Scott, how are you doing, buddy?
Hey.
Can I just be a voice of reason here from this area, please? For the love of God. The Bucks had a great year. Regular season.
Right.
That means nothing in the postseason. Nothing. Oh, wait, they got home court. Okay, congratulations. Around here, you cannot say anything that would be construed as anything remotely negative about this team. And if you do, for the love of God, you're going to be considered a goof, a dope. What are you talking about? They're going all the way to the finals.
Right.
Well, all right, let's just stop. Not everybody around here thinks that way. Most do, but not everybody. So sorry about that, which you guys been getting from this idiotic morning.
I don't have anything to do with any of these people at all. Zero. And none of it. All of it bores me. I'm telling you, I think the Bucks are a great team. I love them. I think they're fantastic. And I think Giannis is just a blast to watch play. Bottom line is this, is that they should go into Detroit tomorrow and handle their business just like Boston did tonight. They handled their business against a team missing their star key component in Oladipo. They're nothing without him, and they've been exposed. And, you know, the Sixers are doing what they're doing without Embiid. It's unbelievable because the Nets aren't ready for this, you know, level of pressure. I think, you know, you got a new star coming out of the woodwork in San Antonio to knock off the Nuggets in AT&T off the Riverwalk, you know, and then in your series, there's no way they can win without Blake Griffin. That we know. And then the Rockets just killed the Jazz. Let's see what the Jazz do in Salt Lake. Now they're in Oak City. We'll see what this team does. But I have nothing but respect for that team. And, you know, every night, all year long, we've seen them destroy everyone. And it's been fun to watch. There's a lot of guys on that team that I think are fun to watch play basketball besides Giannis. I think he's made everyone around him better. The teams, you know, they've never been this good. And that's just all there is to it. I love Middleton's game. I've said I like Bledsoe's game. We've always been Pat Connaughton fans. You get beyond that. Mirotić can shoot. He's had his injuries and fingers snapped and everything else. But they can shoot. They can play. They can run transition. I like them a lot. But the facts remain. Without a doubt, they've never – I mean, it has literally always found a way to implode. They have never got it done. And – it's up to them to do it. It's not up to me. It's not up to anyone around here. It's not up to anyone around there. It's up to them. They have to go out and play and win. So they need to finish off Detroit, go to the next level, and then what? It's Boston? So be it. I think they're better than Boston, but Boston is built for the playoffs. That's it. Their regular season, you talk about meaningless. You're right about that. All that stuff means nothing now. Because look at them now. 3-0. They just won an Indy. Kyrie's lighting it up. They're winning. And that's going to be a hell of a series. Hell of a series that I have nothing to do with. Neither do you. Neither do you. Neither do you. Neither do you. You all think you're on the team or something? Are you going to play that one with me? Everybody's like, you're on the squad, you're on the bench, are you coaching? What do you play? Getting some burn? You getting a little burn there? Please calm down. Have a beer. Smoke a doobie. Relax. Let them handle their business. You got nothing to do with it. Neither do I. We'll see how they do. We'll see how they do. Certain people around here don't believe in them. I would never say who, Carver High. But I think that we'll see how it plays out. I mean, obviously, they're the number one seed, right? Aren't they? Aren't they the best team? I mean, it should be a walk in the park. Tiptoe through the tulips.
As far as I'm concerned, they're already in the finals.
Well, once you're that good, you're just automatic. You don't even have to play the games, right? All right, 855-212-4227 to get on the bench.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
You know, one of the things I think about that team that I was talking about before the Bucks is that, like, everyone they play, have you noticed, like, literally, though, seriously, everyone that they play, they put, like, you know, literally, like, $120 on them no matter what, right? Like, it's literally, listen to this. I mean, I was just looking at this. It's crazy how good they are. The Kings, $141. These are what they put on people. Lakers, $131. And then how about this? They lose to the Suns and Jazz on the road, and they still scored $114 and $115 and lost, right? Or $105, $105 and $111. They lost both those games. They still scored, you know, heavy over 100. $117 against the Pacers. $131 against the Hornets. Both wins. $114 and a loss at the Spurs. $113 and a loss at the Pelicans. Are you getting my drift? Even when they lose, they put up $115. Sixers, they lose $130 to $125. Lakers win $115. Cavs lost. They lost to the Cavs embarrassingly at the Q in Cleveland, and they still scored $102 on a crappy night, right? Heat, $116 win. Cavaliers, $127 win. Rockets, $108 win. Clippers, $128 win. Loss here to the Hawks, $136-135. They still scored $135. You got to, like, you know, go to triple overtime to beat them or something, basically. The Nets, they put $131 on them. Sixers, they beat on the road in Philly, put $128 on them. Lost to the Nets in Brooklyn and still scored $128 on them. I mean, is this crazy or what? Hawks, $115. Thunder, $116 and a loss, $127-116. And then in the Pistons games in the playoffs, $121 and $120. Are you getting the drift here? They flat out push it and score against everybody. It does not matter who you are. So the Celtics might be beating the Pacers, but the Pacers to me are playing with three wheels. They don't have four wheels on the car. So they have to defensively explain to me how they're going to stop that freight train. They're scoring $110, $120 a game no matter what, even when they lose. That's all I'm saying. They can beat Boston, believe me, you. But what will Boston do to slow that down and keep them in the 90s? It's almost impossible.
It's going to be very hard for them, and you're right. The first round of the Eastern Conference, it's wiffle ball for the four teams. I mean, Indiana stinks. Detroit's awful. The Nets are going to lose. It's easy for those four teams. The Magic aren't good either. And then you get to the big boy matchups. Milwaukee and Celtics, Raptors and Sixers. I mean, let's get to it, because these first-round matchups are a joke. You're right. It's going to be hard for the Celtics to slow them down. I think that they have enough experience that they're going to find a way to do it. I'm not telling they're going to sweep them. I'm saying it's going to be a long 6 or 7-game series. I wouldn't like it if it's 7. If the Celtics win 7 with them, that would be tough. I don't know if they could win game 7 in Milwaukee. But if they got a chance to win it in 6 in Boston, they're absolutely, I think, going to do it. So, but if Milwaukee did beat them, I could see Milwaukee going to the finals and be the team that gets served up to the Warriors.
So that they would beat the winner of the Toronto series?
If they beat Boston, that would show me something.
So Toronto plays Philly then?
Right.
But, and who do you like in that series?
I like Philly to beat Toronto.
So you like Philly to beat Toronto because Toronto always chokes?
Always.
But they didn't have Kawhi Leonard when
they
choked.
Well,
they
didn't have Kawhi, and it was always against LeBron. But listen, this is newfound territory for all these teams in the East.
If they don't have Embiid against Toronto, they'll lose.
You're right about that. If Embiid doesn't play, I wouldn't even play Embiid these last two games against the Nets.
Right.
I would just get him ready for Toronto. There's no point. But all of it doesn't matter, because whoever wins this little Eastern Conference tournament, they're going to lose to the Warriors anyway. It doesn't make a difference.
You mean the Rockets?
Well, the Rockets are going to lose. Rockets. Yeah, I know. The Rockets.
No.
You know the Warriors are
going to
win again.
No.
It's happening.
Honestly, even if the Sixers have Embiid, I think Toronto could still beat them. I don't like the Sixers when it matters most. You know, big game, got to win it to move on. I'll take Kawhi Leonard over them every day.
So you're
on that team's done anything.
So you're on Toronto because you don't buy Philly.
I don't buy Philly. I think there's too much of, you know, the stardom, the me, like, look at me, social media. Everybody wants their own shot to be the big guy.
Right.
I don't think they can get it done. I don't think they can come together as a team. The same thing that, you know, they have problems with Boston right now is all about the selfishness, the egos, the discord. It's not a great team atmosphere right now.
But Kyrie looks happy tonight. There's
Calgary because they're kicking
scoring.
Their ass. They're not in a situation. Watch
no
it.
Goal.
They lose the game
off.
Next round. Let's see how he reacts then.
I think they waved it off, Carver High, this goal.
It looks like it. The ref's going to review it. I didn't see it.
Right now he's waving it off. No goal. They're not even going to review it.
Are you kidding me? The guy in the front row.
Well, said. I got to see it here. So, and then you got to tell me about this other goal that was so controversial. That's interference.
See, he definitely bumped into him, but did number?
Yeah, let's see.
No, it's interference.
He drove into him. He drove into him. That's a good call.
He wasn't hitting into him.
Okay, so tell me about the call.
That was nothing like
Toronto,
the one
Boston.
In the Toronto Boston game.
Tell me about that one.
So they're scoreless. I guess it was about less than 10 minutes left in the third period tonight. And Austin Matthews scored for the Leafs. There was some contact in the front of the crease, top of the crease, between Rask and Zach Hyman. Called it a good goal on the ice. They reviewed it for a while. It was one of those long reviews. There was definitely some contact there. It was close. They ended up calling it a goal. I thought it was going to come back. It looked like he was jostling with, I think it was Chara in front. I forget who the defenseman was in front of him, but he was drawing with him a little bit, and then Hyman backed up and definitely nudged into Rask, and Matthews then
so
put
what is
in.
Everyone in Boston saying? It's a conspiracy?
Well, they're obviously all going to say it wasn't a goal, but
saying that in Toronto it's corrupt.
Well, always. Anytime that Toronto wins a review, that's what's going to be said.
So they make the decision in Toronto.
Well,
and
that's where the
review – And so Boston fans think that the review officials with the league in Toronto are favoring the Leafs.
I would say that's probably
accurate. Are you buying that? Do you think that there's corruption in the league officiating crew on the TV replay system in Toronto, that they're rooting for the Leafs?
I think the refs suck, but I don't think they're rooting for the Leafs.
I do think they are rooting for the Leafs, without a doubt. I mean, there is no guy that grew up or that lives in Toronto their whole life in Ontario that isn't rooting for the Leafs. But there's that you, if you were born there, you're rooting for the Leafs. If you spent your entire life living there working for the league office and working for the NHL in any capacity, you're still rooting for the Leafs. And if you're not, you're a liar is what you are. You're lying through your teeth. Let's get an update in and go to – and no goal, by the way. And the Flames are down 3-1 in this game in the second period, deep into the second period in Saddledome and for Alberta. And if they lose tonight, they're out of it.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
So CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4. CBS is brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. And in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. Don't forget PharrellOnTheBench.com for all the NBA and NHL playoff plays this weekend. PharrellOnTheBench.com and Pharrell on the Bets episode 204 tomorrow, Saturday. Drops on iTunes, Google Play. Subscribe and follow on Twitter at OnTheBets, WWO. Tony Jones, our buddy in Salt Lake with the Athletic, covers the Jazz. He's back on the bench. Tony. Tony, my man.
What's up? How are you?
How you doing, brother? Hey, listen, so I actually have seen all these teams, you know, the Sixers went to, you know, Brooklyn and won. The Pacers had the, you know, Celtics in, and the Celtics kicked their ass and this and that. Do you feel that the Jazz will be able to handle their business tomorrow night in Salt Lake against the Rockets, or is the same thing going to happen to them?
Very debatable. I think if the Jazz are going to win tomorrow night, it's going to take them having an A-plus game, and it's going to take them making the Rockets make some mistakes. Here's the thing right now. James Harden is playing at an unreal level. He's the best offensive player in basketball. He has a counter to everything. He has a counter to absolutely everything that the Jazz are doing, and he makes the right reads off the pick and roll all the time. He's the best. He's the best isolation player in basketball, and I just don't think the Jazz have an answer for them. And more importantly, I don't think the Jazz have an answer for the type of defense the Rockets play. The Rockets are just an unreal matchup nightmare for the Jazz because they switch everything defensively, and it takes the Jazz out of their motion-based pick-and-roll style offense, and it forces them into isolation. And the Jazz only have one isolation player, and that's Donovan Mitchell. So if the Jazz are going to win tomorrow, they're going to have to shoot really well from three-point range. They're going to have to get stops. They're going to have to sustain runs. And I think they're going to have to play from in front. If they're playing from behind, I don't think they can win.
And, Tony, the and Mitchell's, you know, he's saying, I'm gonna take my game to another level. Do you feel that he now feels that he has to do that in isolation and that he has to be the answer to this problem and, you know, have some kind of go-off game? Or is he going to stay in a pick-and-roll system and try to get his teammates good looks and good shots? Or is he going to try to do it all himself? Because that might be disastrous.
Well, knowing Donovan, I think he's going to be extremely aggressive tomorrow. It wouldn't shock me if he shot the ball 30 times. Not sure what the results are going to be because I think here's the way that the Rockets are playing Donovan Mitchell. They are putting Eric Gordon, who's a terrific on-ball defender. He's Donovan's primary defender. And then when Donovan gets into the lane, they're sliding either P.J. Tucker or Chris Paul over from the weak side. And if Donovan gets past those two, then he's encountering Clint Capella, who's a terrific rim protector. So in essence, while James Harden's beating one guy to the rim, Donovan Mitchell has to beat three guys to the rim. Now, the way to beat that is you have to make your three-pointers because they're willingly conceding open three-point looks to Ricky Rubio and whoever the foreman is, which is either Derek Favors or Jay Crowder. And the Jazz have shot 15 for 65 from three-point range in this series. So that number has to come up immeasurably. Ricky Rubio is going to have to make threes. Jay Crowder is going to have to make a lot of threes. That weak side guy who they're taking Chris Paul or P.J. Tucker off, has to make Houston pay. And those first two games, those guys haven't been able to make Houston pay.
So, Tony Jones with us from The Athletic. What is the plan for Gobert? I mean, six shots. I mean, can't they get this guy the ball, I mean, 10, 12, 15 times down in the paint to do something?
Well, he's a pick and dive big, and he's not a post up big. So, you know, this is one of the reasons why he's just such a bad matchup for the Jazz. When they switch everything, they get away with switching a smaller guy on to Rudy Gobert because Rudy Gobert is not able to post up and take advantage. Rudy Gobert's bread and butter is set to pick, roll down the lane, catch an alley-oop or receive a pass, and finish in the lane.
Right.
And if you put him in that realm, he's an unreal finisher. But if you make him post up and you make him make a move, then he becomes very average. It's the reason why DeMarcus Cousins was such a big acquisition for Golden State, because DeMarcus Cousins is able to post up and he's able to punish those switches because he can post up, play with his back to the basket. Now, with Rudy Gobert, when he can't do that, then it makes that defense so much more effective, and it turns the Jazz into what they don't want to be, which is an isolation team.
What's happened to Joe Ingles? He's a guy that, you know, is double figures, to me, automatic. And in these games, he's been completely invisible.
Kind of the same thing. Joe Ingles is a great pick and roll player. He's not an isolation guy. He's not a guy that's going to beat you off the dribble. He's a guy that him and Rudy Gobert or him and Derek Favors, they work very, very well together in getting him an advantage and going downhill off the screen. But once you switch everything, and then once you turn him into an isolation guy, then just like Rudy Gobert, he kind of becomes average. So this is the thing with the Jazz. They're too imbalanced right now. They need isolation guys, and they need pick-and-roll guys. And right now they have too much of one and not enough of the other. And it's just going to make it very difficult for them.
What do you think, Tony Jones with us from The Athletic, what do you think of the pieces like, you know, Gordon and Tucker and you know, the way they shoot? I mean, because they get their threes off, and those guys are pouring in 16, whatever. I think in the last game they both had like 16 or something like that. That's a problem because Harden's pouring in his, you know, 30-plus. CP's doing his thing. I mean, Capella didn't even do anything, but Tucker and Gordon are getting their shots. I mean, when all of those guys are firing, it's almost like you have no chance.
This is what the Jazz have to do, in my estimation. There's not much you're going to be able to do with James Harden. He's at a level where, I mean, he's going to score 35 no matter what you do. So the trick with James Harden or the task with James Harden is you got to try to make him as inefficient as possible. You got to try to make that 35 as difficult as possible. So what I think the Jazz should do is get out of the gimmick defense that they've been doing all series, which is trying to force James Harden to his right. And I think they need to switch everything as well. Concede James Harden his 35 or 40 points, but try and lock up everybody else. If you don't come off of P.J. Tucker, he can't create his own shot. If you don't come off of Daniel House, he can't create his own shot. Chris Paul can create his own shot, sure, but he's not the same. I'd rather have Chris Paul trying to create his own shot than James Harden trying to create his own shot. Same thing with Eric Gordon and Austin Rivers. So I think the Jazz, their pathway to winning or their pathway to defending this Houston team effectively right now is switching everything, letting Harden go for his 40 points, and then trying to limit everybody else.
Don't you think that I just find it really hard to believe that they aren't going to show up and punch them in the mouth tomorrow night, the Jazz, that they're going to answer this 2-0 hole and be ready for this game no matter who they're playing. I just think they always do so well, in my view, in that building, in that town. I think they're going to surprise everybody. I think they'll be in that game for sure tomorrow.
I definitely think they're going to put their best game forward. I think they're extremely disappointed in themselves. They thought that they let Houston out-tough them, out-physical them, out-scrap them, out-hustle them. The Jazz feel that they let Houston punk them in the first two games of the series. They weren't strong with the basketball. They were harassing the turnovers. They let Houston's defense speed them up. And I think that they're really extremely disappointed in themselves for that fact, especially Donovan Mitchell. So I do think that we're going to see a different Jazz team in terms of intensity right from the get-go. I don't think that they're going to fall into a 12-4 hole right from the get-go as they did in Game 2. You know, I do think that they're going to be different. Now, whether that equals a win, to me, that's debatable, but I do think they're going to be different.
So, Tony, let me ask you, like, hypothetically, let's say Houston moves on in this series, just for the sake of it. Do you think that they can, because a lot of people think that they're the team that can give the Warriors problems. Are you buying that?
Oh, yeah, I'm buying it 100%. I think Houston has a chance to win it all this year.
Yeah, me too.
I think Houston's playing the best basketball of anybody right now. Now, I do think Golden State sent a message with how well they played last night against the Clippers.
Right.
And they sent the message that, hey, we're Golden State. We can still turn it on and just kick the doors off of you when we want to. But Houston has a lot of answers for Golden State, just like Golden State has a lot of answers for Houston. And I think that the DeMarcus Cousins injury for Golden State, I think that's going to loom large for Golden State, because I thought – that was the one answer that Golden State was going to be able to have for Houston, that Houston wasn't going to have an answer for. I still think Golden State comes out, and I would favor them, but I would favor them slightly, because I truly believe that Houston has a good chance of beating Golden State.
Do you think they could take them in one of those two games? Let's say if it opened in Oracle, do you think they could steal one of those games? They have to, because if they go down two, I say they're doomed. I don't care about all that. Oh, we got to play our two games in H-Town. I think they'll do fine in H-Town. Do you think they can win in the Bay?
I think if they beat Golden State, it's going to have to be in seven. Here's the thing. Golden State's won a road game in like something like 20 consecutive series.
Right.
And I think that's an NBA record.
It is.
Off the top of my head. So, you know, you can almost count on the fact that Golden State's going to be able to find a way to win one at Toyota Center. So, I think Houston's going to have to win not one, but two games in Oracle if they're going to beat Golden State.
Who do you think, Tony Jones, in the East, with everything that's developing, Celtics are where they are. They would meet Milwaukee if they obviously finish off Detroit. And then you got kind of Toronto. We know their situation. It looks like they're in control of their faculties, and that Philly has already proven what they can do to the Nets all of a sudden. What do you think happens in the East?
I think Milwaukee comes out of the East because I think they're the best team. I think Giannis is the best player. I think if anybody beats Milwaukee, I think it's going to be Boston, just because Kyrie is so good and Kyrie's such a shot maker. That it's hard to have an answer for him. But Milwaukee has length. They have athleticism. Budenholzer is such a good coach, and I think he's such a good coach in a series. I think that he cancels out Brad Stevens. And Giannis has been a different animal this year. He's just been a guy. He's been a guy that people haven't had an answer for. So I would think that Milwaukee comes out of the East, and if Milwaukee doesn't come out of the East, I think Boston is going to be the team that beat them. And if Boston does beat them, then Boston-Toronto is going to be a heck of a series.
Do you think – how do you stop? Can you at all stop Giannis? How would Boston go about dealing with him?
That is really, really extremely tough, because you can't gap Giannis like you can gap a lot of non-shooters. Like you can gap Ben Simmons. But you can't gap Giannis, because Giannis eats up space better than any guy that I've ever seen. Like, if you gap him, he's not going to settle for the three. He's going to come to you, and he's going to be extremely physical. He's able to get downhill. He's able to grab rebounds and get downhill in transition. He's an elite finisher, and he's an elite competitor. He's a guy that's going at you from minute one to minute 48. So it's kind of one of those things where I think with Harden, you know, you just kind of, you know, Giannis is going to score his 35 points. He's going to score his 30, which you don't want, What you don't want is for him to have 10 assists, him having a bunch of rebounds. You want to kind of limit what guys do around him.
I love talking Rack with Tony Jones. Great stuff tonight, Tony. Enjoy the game tomorrow night with the Rockets and Jazz in Salt Lake. Always appreciate you coming on CBS Sports Radio, brother. Killer stuff.
Thanks, man. I appreciate you having me.
All right, Tony Jones, athletic, covers the Jazz. He's a regular on the bench. I like talking basketball with that guy. He knows his hoops for sure. I got to ask you a question, Carver High, here. Seriously, the Avs are up 4-1 on the Flames after two periods. They're done. They are done.
You love to see it.
I mean, they are done. That's another number one gone.
Gone.
Isn't that right? Like what? Tampa and them. Both,
Tampa and Calgary were the ones.
They were the ones. They're both done. Do you see them coming back with three goals in the third?
I do not.
Yeah. Not only are they done, they're getting their ass beat.
Yes.
Like at every puck, everything.
I think losing that game the other night in Colorado maybe really damaged them, where Smith made 1,000 saves and they just couldn't get it done for him.
Did I not say when that happened that was the backbreaker?
Yep.
The guy played the game of his life and still lost.
I thought they'd give a little heart tonight at home.
Nothing. They're giving us nothing at all. We go to the Billy Idol Hour of Love on a pain-free Friday. Check out.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.